She was dedicated to Nishmas Rav Chalevas Rav Chaim Tzvi. In the prior Zman, we were working on some of the details of Meleches Bona, Meleches Makar Patish. We discussed a little bit about the issue of Korea tearing, and we were moving towards the context of opening up packages and the like on Shabbos. I want to take a little pause there as we start this new Zman. I'd like to spend a shir or two working on a different Melacha, and then we'll come back to finish up a number of the loose odds and ends that we did over there. Given that it's a new Zman, I wanted to start with a fresh malacha, something we have not touched on. And this shir will be a chazar of some basic fundamental principles that we have done in the distant past. The malacha I want to cover is the malacha of tzedah, the malacha of trapping. And it's interesting that a lot of the fundamental klalei hamalachos, a lot of the fundamental aspects of the core klalim of Hilchos Shabbos really emanate and flow from Meleches Tzedah. So let's take a look at this Malacha and use that, the Malacha Tzedah, to review some of the core of Klalei HaMalacha, and then Mirtz Hashem will discuss the Halach Lamaisa of Tzedah as well. The Mishnah tells us that Hatzad is one of the Lamates Malachos, and where did they do Tzedah in the Mishkan? What was the purpose of Tzedah in the Mishkan? So you have different needs for certain kinds of animals you had in the Mishkan. Rashi points out in the 7th Perek of Maseches Shabbos, they used to trap the Chilazon. It's really the Gemara, Hatzad Chilazon. The Gemara tells us they used to trap Chilazon in order to extract from the Chilazon the dyes. And by extracting the dyes of the Chilazon, they'd be used for the Urios, the curtains of the Mishkan. And that is one aspect of Meleches Tzedah, trapping the Chilazon. Also, they needed certain kinds of animals for the hides, the Oros Techashim. So they used to trap this animal called the Tachash, and they would skin the animal for its hide, and you also use that in the Asiyas HaMishkan. So either way, there were certain animal products that were needed for the Binyan HaMishkan, and by trapping animals, that's one of the Lamates Malachos. Another of the Lamates Malachos, which we'll also have to discuss, is the Malacha of Shochet, of slaughtering, of killing. And again, they'd use these animals and kill the animals in order to extract and use some of their product for the Binyan HaMishkan. So right off the bat, you see a very fundamental yesod, is that the Malacha of Tzedah requires a certain sorech, a certain need, that you have a use for the product of the animal. You're using the chilazon's dam, the dyes that are in the chilazon animal, or the oros, the leather of the tachash, and therefore, what would be the halacha if you trap an animal with a different purpose, shalol etzorach? So again, to review certain concepts, this is the concept of malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. The Gemara describes Maseches Shabbos Daf Gimel and elsewhere a fundamental issue. What if you go ahead and trap a nachash, hatzad nachash? Not because necessarily you want the nachash. You're not particularly interested in the nachash. You don't want to make any kind of snakeskin pocketbook or what have you. But rather, you're fearful that the nachash is going to go ahead and bite you. You're worried about it causing some kind of danger to you. Not a life-threatening danger, but some other kind of danger. What is the halacha in such a case? And that is the sugya of malacha she'ena tzrich lagufa. You take a look at Shulchan Aruch, Simen Shin Tes Zayin, halacha ches. The Shulchan Aruch tells us that Hashmona Shratzim Ha'amura BaTorah, if you have the Shmona Shratzim, you have certain Shratzim that are described in the Chumash, that there is a certain physical nature to these Shratzim, Hatzidon Chayev, if you go ahead and trap them, so you're Chayev for the Malacha of Tzedah. But then the Shulchan Aruch qualifies a little bit and says, you're only Chayev Hatzadon Litzorech Chayev, it's only if you have a particular use for that animal, for its blood. However, shalol etzorech, if you trap the animal, shalol etzorech, you don't particularly need it. It's bothering you. You don't have a use for the animal per se. So in such a case, says the Shulchan Aruch, ostam, you're just stam trapping animals, just playing around, but you don't have a particular use for the animal. This is what the Mishnah Berurah describes. What shalol etzorech? Kegom lesachek. You're into, let's say, some kind of hunting, some kind of, you're a trapper, but you just do it for the fun, not because you want the animal, but you enjoy the activity of trapping. In such a case, potter mishum dehavalei malacha shenisuk legufa, and that would be potter. You're not going to be chayev because of the din of malacha shenisuk legufa. That's the first shita in Shulchan Aruch. However, the Shulchan Aruch then quotes the shita sarambam ul harambam chayev, afilu shelo letzorech, even if you trap an animal, shelo letzorech, As long as you have kavana for the malacha, you're intending to trap, you're going to throw it out right afterwards. You trap a fish and you throw it back in the water. You're enjoying that, just that activity of trapping. So that says the Rambam, that's going to be chayev. This is a machlokes, as we remember, between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda, machlokes tanoim. The Gemara is found in Masechet Shabbos, that Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis Tzadi Hey, where the Gemara tells us, Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis, where the Gemara tells us, if you cut your fingernails, Hanotel Tziparnov, and you do so not because you want to use your fingernails, but you just want to look good, you want a groomed fingernail, so this is dependent on the machlokes, Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, Malacha she'ena tzrich l'gufa. You don't need the fingernail, but Rabbi Shimon says, even though if you don't need the fingernail, you're still going to be chayv, because bottom line is you cut your fingernail with kavana. Malacha she'ena tzrich l'gufa, I'm sorry, that's Rabbi Yehuda, says it's chayv. Rabbi Shimon says, no. Tosis explains, if you do a malacha for a purpose other than it was done in the Mishkan, so that's called a malacha she'ena tzrich l'gufa. If it's done for the purpose that was done in the Mishkan, malacha tzrich l'gufa. If it's for a purpose that is not done, that was not done in the Mishkan, a different kind of purpose, that's called malacha she'ena tzrich l'gufa. That's Rabbi Shimon's shita. The Rambam in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Shabbos halacha Zayin, he paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. Malacha she'ena tzrich l'gufa is chayef. The Balei Tosfos and Rov Rishonim, they pass like Rabbi Shimon. Malacha she'ena tzricha legufa is pater. Pater aval aser is an iser derabbanan. And this machlokes is reflected here in Shulchan Aruch, where the Shulchan Aruch says, when it comes to trapping animals, if you trap an animal stam, just for the fun of it, or for a different purpose, you're not interested in the animal whatsoever, you don't want it to bite you, it's bothering you, it's buzzing in your ears, so you grab it, you trap it. So that says the Shulchan Aruch, the first day up, Patav Lasser, that's like the Shitzat Tosfos, and Ula HaRambam Chayef. And the Rambam says, even Shalala Tzorech, the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda is Chayef. That's a very, very important machlokas lahalacha. And when you simply look at this Simen in Shulchan Aruch here in Simen Shin Tez Zayin, so you come to the conclusion when he quotes a Shita Stam, that's the Balei Tosfos, that Shalola Tzorech Ostam is Potter, Nisid Rabbanan, and then he says, Ula HaRambam Chayev, so Pashtus, at first blush, that would seem to indicate the halacha is Kestam, and indeed the Mishnah Berurah says just that. He says, Rova Poskim, this is in Sifkat and Lamed Dalet, at the end, Rova Poskim, Poskim Kadeh HaRishon, De Potter Michatas, Mishum Deba'ina, Malachas Machsheves, Va'osim Rabbanan. Most Poskim don't hold like the Rambam, and they hold Malacha Shen Yisrich L'gufa does notch down the Yisr from an Yisr Dorais to an Yisr Drabbanan. That would seem to be the accepted halacha. We did point out that, again, a number of years ago, we pointed out that this seems to contradict a different Mechaber, because the Shulchan Aruch writes in the beginning of Simen Shin Mem, when it comes to Meleches Gozes, taking a haircut, cutting fingernails, the Shulchan Aruch says, if you cut your hair, and you take, let's say, you cut a couple of hairs off, what are you doing that for? You want to be nicely groomed. You cut your fingernails and you get rid of the fingernails. So there we saw the Shulchan Aruch paskins. That's an Isser d'Oraisa. Now, in the Mishkan, when they did gozes, they sheared hair, they sheared wool, they sheared the wool off of the sheep because they wanted the wool. They wanted to use the wool. When you take a haircut, that's gozes. You're shearing your hair, you're cutting your hair, but you're going to discard that here. You throw it in the garbage. So too, when it comes to cutting fingernails, you're going to throw that in the garbage. So why is that considered to be an Isser d'Orais? If indeed the Psak Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, like Rova Poskim, that Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is an Isser d'Rabbanan, Pater Aval Aser, so how can the Shulchan Aruch tell us in Simen Shin Mem Halacha Aleph that when you cut your fingernails or your hair, you violate an Isser d'Oraisa? That sounds like the Rambam, that Malacha she'ena tzricha legufa is chaya. That's a contradiction between the Shulchan Aruch, the two deos. It's hard to say that there's a difference between Malachas Gozes and Seda. This should all be part of the din of Malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. So we pointed out that there are three basic approaches in dealing with this apparent stira, again, a very fundamental issue, Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, how we paskin. So there's the approach of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon has a striking position. He says, yeah, when it comes to the Shulchan Aruch's view, in Simen Shin Tez Zayin, the Malach of Tzeda, There he quotes two deos. He quotes the first deya, Patur Aval Aser. The next day is the Rambam Shita, Chayev. The Shulchan Aruch didn't take a stand. Quoted two deos. If that's all he had to say in the matter, then we'd apply the rule of Halacha, Stam, V'yesh. He quotes one day a Stam as a general principle. Then the Rambam says Chayev. A particular Rishon says Chayev. Then we'll pass in Kestam. Always pass in Kestam in a, it's like a rove situation. You'll always pass in Kestam. But here, it's not that way. It's not the only thing he says about it. It says the Vilna Gaon. In Shin Tez Zayin, he gave you two deos. In Simin Shin Mem, he gives us one position. He says if you take a haircut, you cut your fingernails, you're not using the hair, you're going to throw it in the garbage. You're not using the nails, you're going to throw it in the garbage. That's called a malacha shen tzrich l'gufa, and he says you're chayiv. So here he takes a stand. He paskins like the Rambam. And therefore, says the Vilna Gaon, it could very well be, we don't pass this way, but the Shulchan Aruch might pass like Shitsa Rambam. Malacha shen tzrich l'gufa is chayiv. That might be why, in general, in halacha, we treat malacha shen tzrich l'gufa as a very chomer derabbanan. It's not just a regular derabbanan, it's a more chomer derabbanan. You have the Shitas HaRambam, you have perhaps even the Graz understanding of the Shulchan Aruch, that indeed malacha shen tzrich l'gufa might indeed be chayiv, because here in Simin Shin Mem he takes a stand. That's one approach. The Mogen Avraham has a different approach. Mogen Avraham says, the Shulchan Aruch says, cutting your hair, cutting your fingernails is chayiv. How can he say that? He passes malacha shen tzrich l'gufa is Potter. How is that possible? So he has a new kimta. He sets up the Shulchan Aruch because it must mean that when you cut your hair in this scenario, it's not that you're throwing it in the garbage. That would be malacha shen tzrich l'gufa. You should be potter. Rather, when you're cutting your hair, you have a use for the hair. You're going to use the hair to stuff a pillow. You're going to use the hair to create a wig. You have some kind of use. When you cut your fingernails, yeah, you have a use for the fingernails. Yeah, you want a little fingernail can serve as a tiny little cutting device, a little some kind of use, whatever it might be, to use the fingernails for some kind of purpose. If that's the case, so it's really a malacha tzrich l'gufa, and therefore you're going to be chayiv over here, even though the psak halach of Shulchan Aruch is if indeed it was a true malacha shen tzrich l'gufa, then indeed you'd be patur aval aser. So when we would take a haircut, in general, so that would be an iser derabbanan, because we're not using our hair when we cut our fingers, an iser derabbanan, and that's that famous psak machlokas shach and taz and hilchos nida. If you have a woman whose leil tefillah is a Friday night, she forgot to cut her fingernails in preparation for going to the mikvah, is she allowed to go to the mikvah? Does she have any solution? So if you assume cutting fingernails is really malacha shen tzrich l'gufa, because we're going to discard those fingernails, we have no use for them, so then perhaps when we're talking about a makom mitzvah, we can invoke a goy, bring a goy in, and then we have shvus, dishvus, a double drabbanan, amir la'akum, and cutting fingernails itself is only drabbanan, but makom mitzvah, leil tefillah, tefillah bizmana mitzvah hi, and that would solve that problem. Or perhaps we can add another drabbanan, have the goy cut the fingernail with her teeth. In any event, once you're in the world of an issa drabbanan, you're going to have a lot more coolers in these kinds of situations. And then you have the third shita. That's the position of the Mishnah Brura. And he brings many Rishonim who he believe follow this view. This is the position of the Rivash, that really you do have to distinguish between Meleches Seda and Meleches Gozes in the following way. Meleches Gozes, is that really Melecha She'eino Tzrich L'gufa? Is that fair to say? Perhaps not. In the Mishkan, why did they shear animals of their fur, of their wool? So pashtus, by sheep for sure, they sheared the animal because they wanted a nice set of wool. They're going to use that wool for various reasons in the Mishkan. Says the Rivash, yeah, but they also, as we just mentioned, they used the leather, the oros tachashim, of that animal, that tachash. How'd they get the leather? How'd they use the leather? They trapped the animal. That's our malacha. That's malachas seda. But they didn't stop there. They had to get the leather. So they killed the animal. Yes, that's malachas netilas neshama shochei. And then they had the animal. They had to shear all the fur off the animal in order to then skin the animal to use the leather. What was the purpose of that shearing? Did they want the wool? No. It wasn't about the wool necessarily. It was about a smooth piece of leather. They wanted nice leather. If that's the case, you want nice leather. So that's already yipui haguf. That's by removing some of the bad, you now have a better piece of leather. That's what we do when we take haircuts. We get a haircut. We're not doing it because we want the hair, but we want yipui haguf. We want it to look nice and groomed. Same thing with our fingernails. We want to have a groomed hand. And therefore, that's called yipui haguf. That will be malacha ha sricha lagufa, says the Mishnah Berurah. That's what the Shulchan Aruch meant. So really, again, the Shulchan Aruch, as we've seen, Hilchos say the Paskins malacha shen and sricha lagufa is pater. However, when it comes to Malachas Gozes, that's called a Malacha Hat Sricha Lagufa. So Yesod number one we find in Malachas Tzeda is, a well-developed discussion in the Rishonim and Lahalacha of how we treat Malacha She'ena Tzricha Lagufa. And very, very clearly, this is the Psak of Shulchan Aruch, Simen Shin Ted Zayin Halacha Ches. The only time you'll have an Isser De'oraisa of trapping is if you have a use for the animal. If you don't have a use for the animal, you're only going to be, worst case scenario, you're going to be in the world of an Isser De'rabbanan. So for example, again, you have an animal that you're worried about biting you, and you want to confine it in a given location because you don't want it to bother you, to bite you. That's worst case going to be an Isser De'rabbanan. You have an animal, let's assume a bug, that is, you're worried about a mosquito bite or what have you. You have a bee, you're worried about a bee bite, and you take a cup and you confine the bee underneath that cup, let's say Sukkos, very common scenario. So that, again, is not going to be Nisir D'oraisa because you don't want the bee. That's called a Malacha Shein and Tzrich L'Gufa. And as we go forward, we'll see if we can put together kulas because we have a Malacha Shein and Tzrich L'Gufa situation. That's going to be our first example of an Isser that comes up when it comes to Klale HaMalacha. What's another case? What will often come up, and is a very, very fascinating discussion. This emanates from Simen Shin Tes Zayin Halacha Gimel. And here the Shulchan Aruch tells us that when it comes to Malachas Tzeda, to really violate Nisr Doraisa of Tzad, to trap an animal on a Doraisa level, so there are a number of requirements you have to satisfy. We'll go through them somewhat quickly just to get the overview. Again, as we move towards Halacha Maisa, we'll look at them in more specificity. But number one is you have to have an animal that's a free animal. If the animal is already considered to be trapped, it's already nitzod ve'omed, there is no prohibition of trapping. It has to be a totally free animal. Imagine, for example, what kind of trapping is if I have a fish in a little fish tank. That's not called trapped. It's already trapped. You can't, I'll coin a new term, ain't seida achar seida. The whole concept of malachas seida is to take an animal that is otherwise free and reduce it to your dominion and control. If the animal's already omedes vinitzod, so then there is no malacha of tzeda. That's why, for example, if you have animals that are very, very docile kind of animals, a cow that is behind a massive pen, let's say it's a very, very big pen, but it doesn't go anywhere, it doesn't move anywhere, it just sits there all day long, so that's already omed vinitzod. That's already somewhat, it's trapped. If you have, this is a Shilin post, but let's have an animal that's very, very slow. Yeah, it moves around, but it's very slow. You have a turtle, so it doesn't move around so much, so it doesn't take anything to trap it. It takes no effort to bend down and pick it up to trap it. Yeah, you might have muksa shilas, but in terms of malechas seida, it's omedes vinitzod. It's already considered to be trapped. And so too, if you have an animal that's very stealthy, let's say you have an animal that indeed is very hard to trap, like a deer, for example, but it's sick. If you have a deer that's a cholanis, that it's a sick deer, so therefore becomes dasa in that fashion, you will not violate an iser de'oraisa. That's number one. That's the first requirement, number one. Number two is you need, as we just mentioned, butzora gufo. If you're not doing it for the sake of the animal, that also will knock you down to an iser de'rabona. The next requirement, very, very important, is it has to be tevalin iser de'oraisa. You have to really trap it. You have to do a maaseh seida. And if after you trap it, it's still free, so then you cannot be considered, you cannot really be called engaged in trapping. For example, let's say I have a room and there's a fly flying around the room. The door is open and it's flying around the room. And I close the door. I say, aha, now I have trapped that fly. The answer is, what are you talking about? You haven't trapped that fly whatsoever. The fly is still totally free to fly around. Good, it might be confined to this one room, but that fly is no sense under your dominion and control. That would not be called a trapped animal. And therefore, you have to really engage in trapping the animal such that it is under your control. If you trap it in a manner that it's not under your control, it is still mechusar tzeda. So if you've done something, you have limited its mobility, and we'll again have to define this, then you might have violated an issur drabanan. For example, you have a room, and you trap a cat in the room, but it's a very quick cat, so you might not have it totally under control, but it is confined in that fashion. That'll be an issur drabanan. The doraisa is only if it is truly under your dominion and control. And finally, there's a halacha that the only time you violate an iser d'oraisa of trapping is if the nature of the animal is an animal that you'll typically trap. If it's a type of animal that one doesn't really trap, it's not the type, it's what we call ein bemino nitzod. It is not the type of animal that a person will typically trap. So then once again, that's not going to be an iser d'oraisa. What's an example of an animal that's bemino nitzod that is typically trapped? So an animal that you would eat, that you would, a fish. People trap fish all the time. An animal that, lamb. People trap lamb in order to shecht it, in order to eat it. These are mino nitzot. If you have an animal that's not really trapped, you don't have any use for it whatsoever, so then by definition, that's not going to be a malacha of tzeda. Mosquitoes are not animals that are bemino nitzot. No one really wants to have a collection of mosquitoes. You might trap because you want to kill it, yes, but you don't really want the animal. That's called a animal that is ein bemino nitzod. If you trap an animal or an insect that is ein bemino nitzod, that would be also worst case scenario in iser drabanan. These are the klolim. So let's just go over. It has to be a healthy animal. If it's a sick animal, then already it's somewhat under your control. You have to trap it for a particular use. Let's say a gufo. It has to be the type of animal, mino nitzod, that you'd want to trap, and it has to indeed be reduced to your dominion and control. Lamashal, we'll take a look at a few halachas in Shulchan Aruch, and then we'll see how this will springboard us into, again, a very important fundamental issue when it comes to klalei hamalacha. So the Mechaber paskens in Simon Shin Tet Zayin Halacha Aleph, Hatzad Sipor Dror Lamigdol Shehu Nitzod Ba. If a person traps a tzipor dror, literally a free bird, a bird that flies around freely, into a box that it is contained into its cage, you bring it into its cage, ushar tziporim, and other birds that are free birds, utzvila bayis, or a deer which in general runs freely, you bring it into the house, or the beibar, shehem nitzodimbo, or its pen in which it's contained, chay. That's going to be an iser doraisa. Why? Because birds and deer are mino nitzod. It's right now free, you're penning it in, that is considered to be confined, and therefore that will be an iser d'oraisa. Says the Mechaber, however, im eino nitzot bo, but if you trap it in a place that is not normally its normal place of containment, so then pater aval aser. Okay, that's halacha aleph. Then comes along the I'll give you an example of a tzipor dror. I used to, when I was living in the States, we used to have a bird. We named the bird Blueberry, and the bird was in a cage in the kitchen. Every so often, we take the bird out, and the bird would fly around. And the bird did not like whatsoever to be in its cage. Did not enjoy being caged in. So I never took it out on Chol, but on Shabbos, but on Chol I would take it out. And what ended up happening, we had a fairly high house. So what ended up happening is anytime I take it out, it would open the cage, take it out, and then it would fly. Now birds, the nature of birds, they like to fly up because they want to be perched high. They want to see what's below them. They don't want to be subject to predators on top of them. So he'd always end up running, flying up to the attic of the house. That was his agenda. The cage was in the kitchen. He'd always end up in the attic. So when I wanted to get him back into the cage, I had to climb up all the way, 3 flights of stairs to get to the attic. I get the bird on my finger, and then I start to bring it down to the cage in the kitchen. I bring it all the way down to the kitchen. As I approach the cage, it would fly off again. He didn't want to go in the cage at all. He was not interested in going into his cage. That's what we call a tzipor dror. He's a free bird. Very hard to get him into the cage. Not so simple whatsoever. He was a very smart bird. I got a little more sophisticated, so when I got him on my finger, I used to clamp my thumb on his little foot, and he couldn't really fly off, and that was okay. And then he'd go in, and he got a little smarter than that, and he said, well, he wants to put me in the cage and clamp his thumb on my finger, so he stopped going onto my finger. And that created another hardship. I had to turn off all the lights in the house in order to get him down onto my finger. He was afraid of the dark, got onto my finger, clamped my thumb down, brought him into the cage. Very, very difficult. That kind of bird, is no way you can go ahead and release that bird on Shabbos and get him back in his cage on Shabbos. That would be Tseida de'oraisa. A bird is called b'mino nisod, very free bird, and once it's in the cage, then it is indeed under the owner's dominion and control. That would be an Isser d'oraisa to return that cage, that bird to the cage. That's halacha aleph. Halacha beis, again, a chazar of something we just saw. Hatzad svi yashen. Let's say you have a deer that's sleeping. Osuma, or it's blind. So the Shulchan Aruch says an interesting din over here. If it's sleeping or it's blind, that is an Isser d'oraisa. Why? Because it does still have the ability to escape. It can sense. A sleeping animal or a blind animal is not trapped. And it can sense, it'll wake up, and it'll run away. And therefore, that would still be an Isser d'oraisa. However, if it's chola or zakein, where it doesn't have the ability, it's sick or old, or it doesn't have the ability to escape you, so that already is called nitzod. It's somewhat untrapped, and therefore, by confining it further, that'll be an iser de'o. It'll be an iser drabon. Then we get to the halacha that I want to focus on. That is halacha gimel. The Shulchan Aruch says kol shebemino nitzod. If you go ahead and trap an animal that's typically trapped, chayav alav. That's nisir d'oraisa. Ain bemino nitzod. If you trap an animal that's not normally trapped. So that he says, Pater Aval Osir. That's going to be an Isser de Rabbanon. What's an example of an animal that is not typically trapped? So the example brought by Shulchan Aruch is Hilchos Zvuvim. If you have flies, Afa Pi, Shein Bemino Nitzot, even though normally these flies are not typically trapped, Asur Latsudon, you're not allowed to trap them, Osir. What does Osir mean? Osir Midrabbanon. So to catch a fly, that'll be an Isser Drabbanon. People don't normally have fly collections. They have nothing to do with the flies whatsoever. But it'll still be Isser Midrabbanon. Good? Fine. That's the Shulchan Aruch. Comes along the Ramah, and the Ramah says something very important. Haga, V'lachein yesh li zaher shalo liskor teva ktana o liston kelim shizvuvim bo b'shabbos. Dahave psik resha. So therefore, says the Ramah, a person should be wary, should be careful not to close teva ktana, not to close a small box, or to seal kalim, where you find zvuvim bo b'shabbos, where you find bugs hanging out on Shabbos. For example, let's say I have a garbage pail. And there are bugs in the garbage pail. So to close the garbage pail is effectively trapping those bugs. Am I not trapping the bugs? Let's say I have a cookie jar. I know that there's some bugs that like to hang around the cookie jar. So by closing up the cookie jar, am I not trapping those bugs? So the Ramos says, Yesh li zahir. You have to be wary, you have to be careful about doing this because you're going to end up trapping these bugs. So what's the issue over here? It's fair. You don't have kavana to trap the bugs. You're not interested at all in trapping any of these bugs. That's not what you want. You want to close up your garbage. Maybe it has a bad smell. You want to close up the cookie jar to prevent other bugs from going inside. So that's called, Ramah says, davar shein miskaven. But when you seal it up, that's a psik resha. Inevitably, if you know there's a bug inside, you will be trapping, and therefore, in us, it'll be us. Psik resha is us. So it comes on the Ramon, introduces us to another set of klali hamalacha, davar shein miskaven. We know, davar shein miskaven, if you do malach on Shabbos, that's not a psik resha. It's not inevitably going to take place. In other words, you have kavana to do X, and you don't have kavana to do the malacha. You have kavana to drag a bench across a field because you want the bench on the other side of the field. But it might furrow, and it does furrow. So you don't intend to furrow. You don't intend to plow your field that way. But that's called davar shein miskaven. Davar shein miskaven is machlokes of Shimon Rav Yehuda. We pass on Rav Shimon. Davar shein miskaven is mutter. Yeah, that's true. But if it's a psik resha, if it's inevitably going to take place, so that already moder of Shimon psik resha, that's going to be usser if the action B will inevitably follow action A. when I do action A, B will definitely take place. If I have a very, very heavy bench, I can't lift it up, and I have a soft field, and when I drag it across the field, it will definitely create that furrow. That's considered to be a psik resha, and that's going to be usur. That's the Ramah, and the Ramah says, therefore, don't close the garbage, because you will be trapping. Ah, you don't want to trap. That's not your agenda. That's called avashem eskatan, but if it's a psik resha, you're going to be trapping the animal. What's noteworthy about this Ramah? So what's noteworthy about the Ramah is, the Ramah writes, Yesh li zaher shlo lizkor teva ktana. You should be careful not to close a small teva, a small box. Why? Because that's a psik resha of trapping. You'll be trapping the bug. Why is that noteworthy? Well, what about a big box? Let's say it wasn't a teva ktana, it was a teva gedola. And you're closing up, let's say, your refrigerator, where you know there is some food stuff, and certainly, but there's also bugs. Let's say there's some bugs in the refrigerator. And you close up your refrigerator, and that's a teva gedola, a large box, and you're going to trap some bugs in your refrigerator. So if you read the Ramah carefully, the implication is, Yesh li zaher shlo lizgar teva ktana. You have to be careful about the teva ktana, the small teva. That's what you have to worry about. But a teva gedola. But if it was a big box, so that would be okay. That would be permissible. It is the deal that's made by the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says teva ktana. That's what's asur. Aval teva gedola. Svirale l'rama del kule alma shari. Everyone would agree that a teva gedola you can close, that kind of psik resha, big box, that would be okay. Dafilu, why? What's the difference? So he says, Dafilu hay adam ome betocha. Let's say I had a person standing in that big box and you closed it. Would the animal be under the dominion and control of the man in the box? Would he have that animal, that bug, under his control? Says the Mishnah Berurah, lo haya yachol letafsa b'chad shchia. The man in the box could not grab the animal in one grab. Still have to trap it, chase it down. Meaning, it's still called mechusar tzeda. It's still not fully under your dominion and control. Okay? Ve'gam hu davar she'ein b'mino nitzor. Furthermore, it is a fly. Do people normally trap flies? No. So it's ein bemino nitzot. It's a min of species that's not normally trapped. What does that all mean? So comes along the Sharatzion and says what's really going on over here is the very important principle of psik resha. Dilo nichale on a double dirabana. See, what the Ramah's paskani, at least as understood by the Mishnah Berurah, is trapping the animal when you don't really want it, but it's inevitably going to be trapped. You're closing the cookie jar because you want to keep other bugs out. But it's a psik resha trapping the animal. Good. It's a psik resha. So that's going to be usur. Why is it usur? Because true, psik resha nichale, you don't really want the animal. You don't really intend to trap, but that's still nisur d'rabban, okay? And now you have, what kind of animal are we talking about? We're talking about a zvuv, we're talking about a fly. When it comes to a fly's ein b'mino nitzot, so psik resha nichale, and you're trapping a fly, so that's another d'rabbanan. Psik resha nichale on an in isur d'rabbanan. Ramah says that's aser. Aser. Psik resha delo nichale on an iser drabanan is aser. What's the diuk of the Mishnah Berurah? But if it was a teva gedola, a big box, and the fly is really not under your control, so you know what you have now? You have psik resha delo nichale, not with one drabanan, but trei drabanan. You are two additional steps removed from the Yisr D'oraisa. Number one, you don't have Kavana for the Yisr. But it's a psik resha. Okay. Now, it's a fly. So that's Ein B'Miro Nitzod. You're one step removed from the Drabanan. Fully trapped, if you're in a Teva Gedola, you're two steps removed from the Drabanan. Says the Ramah, says the Mishnah Berurah, Psik Resha, Dilo Nichale. And you're two steps removed from the Drabanan, that already, you're not going to find the Gzeira of Psik Resha. That's going to be Mutar L'Chatchila. You see, the background over here is a very, very fundamental machlokes between the Aruch and the Balei HaTosfos. Major, major machlokes, how we treat Psik Resha Dilo Nichale. The Balei HaTosfos assume that when you do a malacha, and inevitably you're going to create another iser, you're doing an action, and inevitably you're going to have action B that accompanies action A, and action B is a malach which you don't have kavana for. Psik Resha we assume is chayv. The Aruch says, however, that if it's a Psik Resha Dilo Nichale, where you do not have any interest or need for that subsidiary, secondary act, let me give you an example. You are combing your hair. Now, inevitably, when you comb your hair, you're going to pull out hairs. Do you want to pull out hairs? You definitely don't want to pull out hairs. That's called a Psik Resha Dilo Nichale. You're combing your hair. Inevitably, you'll pull out hairs. So it's a Psik Resha, but it's a Psik Resha Dilo Nichale. The Aruch says, Psik Resha is aser. Mo de Rav Shem be Psik Resha if it's Nichale. But if it's Lo Nichale, you don't want those hairs. You don't want them being pulled out. You don't want the malacha. That's going to knock you down to an iser derabanan. That's going to... Let me say that again. I wasn't clear. If it's a psik resha dilo nichale, where you're combing your hair and you don't want those hairs, the Aruch says that knocks you back into davar she'ena miskaven, and that's going to be mutter. That is 100% mutter. According to the Aruch, you can comb your hair on Shabbos pashtus, because it's Psik Resha Dilo Nichale. Come along the Balei HaTosfos, and the Balei HaTosfos disagree. Again, we saw many, many riyas back and forth on this matter, but the Balei HaTosfos say Psik Resha Dilo Nichale is still an Issa Drabban. It's still an Issa Drabban. Okay? That's the fundamental machlokas. What do you have next? Let's say, the underlying Isser in your Psik Resha Dilo Nichale is not an Isser Doraisa. It's not an Isser Doraisa, it's only an Isser Derabanan. So when your underlying Isser, Psik Resha Dilo Nichale, is only Derabanan, so now it seems you have a Machlokes, Shulchan Aruch, and Ramah. The Ramah clearly says in our Sif that when you trap a fly, there, you don't want the fly. You're not intending to trap the fly, closing your cookie jar. And flies are ein b'mino nitzot. So by definition, the underlying iser, worst case, nisa drabana. So now you're trapping a fly unintended, but it's a psik resha, dilo nichale, of an ein b'mino nitzot, psik resha nichale, and an iser drabanan. That's going to be, what? Ramah says aser. But you'll notice that this is the Ramah. And the Shulchan Aruch says nothing on the matter. What might you infer? You might infer that according to the Shulchan Aruch, Psik Resha Dilo Nichale, where the underlying Isser is Drabanan, is Mutter. When do we hold like the Balei HaTosfos, Psik Resha Dilo Nichale is Aser, if the underlying Isser is Doraisa? If it's Drabanan, then Mutter. And this seems to be corroborated by the Mechaber in Simin Shin Yud Dalet Halacha Aleph. We had the case there. If a person sticks a knife into a barrel from Erev Shabbos, is he allowed to pull it out? Pulling a knife out of a barrel will expand the cavity, the hole that is made by the knife a little bit. You know, it's not your intention. You want to use your knife, but by expanding the hole of a barrel, that's an Isser Derabanan. That's a Psik Resha. It's going to happen inevitably. You don't want it Lo Nichale. That's an Isser. And on a barrel, expanding a Nekev on a barrel, that's an Isser Derabanan. Expanding a Nekev on a house, in a building, that's an Isser D'Oraisa. On a barrel's an Isser D'Rabbanan. The Shulchan Aruch says, you're allowed to pull the knife right out. No problem. Why? Psik Resha D'Lo Nichale, Isser D'Rabbanan is Mutter. The Ramah disagrees. The Ramah says the only way you can pull that knife out is if Erev Shabbos, it was stuck in and out a few times. If it was stuck in and out a few times, then when you pull it out, it's not necessarily going to expand the hole. And therefore, it's not really a Psik Resha. So according to Shulchan Aruch, even if it was a psik reish, you can pull it out. Why? Because it's a psik reish to onichale, and expanding a hole on a barrel as opposed to a building or home is only an iser dirabana. That's the chiddush of the psak of the Ramah versus Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah is oser psik reish to onichale and iser dirabana. The Mechaber says l'chora that's permissible. It's going to be very important lahalacha in Sephardim, Ashkenazim, but when it comes to technological issues, let's say you're in a home or you're walking outside and whenever you pass a certain area, a light goes on. So do you have to worry about passing that area when the light goes on? So you're not intending to turn on the light, Darvishin Miskam, just walking, but it's a psik reish, when you pass by, the light will go on. Do you care about the light? There's plenty of light on the street, only that light. So it's psik reish lo nichale. Is your body turning on that light, is that considered to be an iser d'oraisa d'rabbanan? Let's assume that the nature of the light is one that even by turning it on, b'yadayim, it's only an iser d'rabbanan. If that's true, then the Shulchan Aruch l'chor would tell you it's okay to walk by that light, whereas the Ramah would say it's usser. It's important machlokas with a lot of ramifications in areas of modern technology. What about, however, according to Ramah, if you have double d'rabbanan? You're two steps removed. That's our case. That's the Mishnah Berurah's diuk. The Mishnah Berurah says that if a person is two steps removed from the Doraisa, psik reish de lo nichale, and a double derabana, that already even the Ramah would say, ad kadei kach, we're not going to be gozer, that's going to be mutter lechatchila. That's our case. If you have psik reish de lo nichale, ad a fly is ein b'mino nitzah, and it's a teva gedola, so it's not really under your dominion control fully, so you're tacking on more and more space, drabanan al drabanan, more further away from the Issa d'Oraisa. There says the Mishnah Berurah, even the Ramah would be modeh that that's permissible. That's why, for example, a svara to permit eating grapefruits on Shabbos, even though when I scoop out the fruit, out of the grapefruit, I will inevitably be doing schita. I'll be extracting juices from the flesh of the fruit, and that's the malach of schita, so that's not my intention. My intention is to eat the fruit, not to be soche, psik resha. Let's assume I'm not interested in the liquid at all, delo nichale. So there you have a double drabbanan. Your first drabbanan is, when it comes to schita, you might remember, the only dorais of schita is by two different kinds of fruit, olives and grapes, which produce olive oil and wine. Any other fruit that you normally you might squeeze are only also midrabana. So grapefruits, already one step removed from doraisa, only is midrabana. Plus, when you squeeze a grapefruit for the juice, use your hands. Use a juicer. You don't use a spoon. So that's a shinui. That's a second drabanan. So now you have psik reish lo nichale, double drabanan. And if you take this scheme of the Mishnah Berurah, that will be permissible. That seems to be the psak of the Mishnah Berurah. What's the problem? The problem is that famous difficulty that emerges based on No Deb Yehuda in Simin Shin Mem. You might recall, again, we discussed this at least a couple of times, and that is the question of cake on Shabbos, cake with writing on Shabbos. The Ramah Paskins in Simin Shin Mem Alacha Gimel that you're not allowed to cut a cake through the letters because of Meleches Mochek. Because by breaking the letters, that's mechika b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to do that, even if it's in the context of a cake. Now, your intention, of course, is not to break the letters. You want to eat a piece of cake. Says Ramah, afal pichein, you're not mechaving la'achila, but it's a psik reisha, and therefore it's aser. The Noah de Behuda asks a very, very powerful question. Says the Noah de Behuda, wait a second, not so fast. This is a psik reisha d'lo michla. You don't want the erasure. And you have a lot of drabbanans here, no? A lot of drabbanans. How do you normally erase? You normally erase with an eraser, not with a fork and a knife. That's sashinu, drabbanan. Kosev doraisa, sorry, mochik doraisa is only if it's amanas lichtov. Ilit shalo amanas lichtov. It's also only drabbanan. This is shalo amanas lichtov. Kosev de orais says only if you have a real bona fide writing that's going to be miskayim, it's going to last. If your ink is not going to last, that's called eino miskayim, that's only nisa drabana. Here your icing, it's not going to last. If your paper is going to wither quickly, is not going to last. You write on a leaf. Also, enem iskayim, that's not an iser dorais either, only an iser rabbanan. So here you have an ink, that's not going to last. A paper, the cake, that's lichora, not going to last. It is a destructive form of mechika. You're destroying the letters without an amanas lichtov. So you have a multiplicity of drabanans. Psikresel nichle, drabanan al gabe drabanan. So what's the din? Can you eat cake? So the note of Yehuda says he thinks he could. Let them eat cake, no problem. Why? Because the Rama would never say this should be aser. Psikresel nichle, multiple drabanan should be okay. Should be okay. That's the note of Yehuda. The Ramot Paskins very clearly, it's also, in fact, the note of Yehuda is very, very troubled. He can, okay, he doesn't love arguing on the Ramot, but that's one thing. But the Ramot didn't make this up. The Ramot is based on a shita quoted in the Mordechai of the Maharam Rutenberg in Masechet Shabbos. And the Maharam Rutenberg there says that there was a practice that on Yontif, they would bring to the children these ugos that had writing on it, and the kids would eat the ugos, these little cakes. They consumed the writing, and the Ramaram was asked, is that mutter on Yontif, this special Yontif treat, when the kids are eating letters and erasing letters thereby? And the Maram says, no, they're only kids, and it's, although it's an Issa Drabbanan, since it's not Amanas, since it's only Nisra Drabbanan because not Amanas Lichtov, but it's Aser, shouldn't be done, but you have to take it away from them. You don't have to take it away from them, they can eat. Adults shouldn't do this, but for the kids, you don't have to take it away from them. That was the Psak of the Maharam Rutenberg. So it implies, clearly from that Psak, it's truly Aser. For adults, it is Aser. Maybe only Drabbanan, but it's Aser. What happened to all these multiple drabanans? How does that all work? How could that be also? That's the kash of the Maram, of the Note Behuda, in the Dagum Rav and Sinshin Mem. So he's willing to argue on the Ramah, that's one thing, but to argue on the Rishonim, on the Maram Rutenberg, that's already something that is a very difficult thing to do. So he's a tremendous chiddush. The Note Behuda says, no, I'm not arguing on the Maram Rutenberg, because the Maram Rutenberg was talking about a very special case. They used to give these cakes to the kids on Yontif. It wasn't Stam Ugos. Shabbos treat, Yontif treat. Now, much more special. These ugos had this writing on it, some kind of Kabbalistic writing, and when the kids would eat it, it would be a segula for chachma. The idea of the cake was not to eat cake with nice decorations on it. The idea was to eat the letters. The idea was to consume the letters, if that's the case. So, you're interested in the mechika. You want the consumption of the letters. It's all about the letters. If that's the case, it's not called psikresha. This is called a davar hamiskav, and that's why the Maram said it's also about a birthday cake. What the Ramaz took about stam cake with writing on it. That you're not interested in dafka eating the letters of the cake, a skula for chachma. No, not at all. This is just stam eating some cake. That says the Maram, the Note Behuda, many drabanans that should be permissible. So there is a little bit of a stira because the Mishnah Berurah quotes. Doesn't argue on this Ramah. He quotes the Note of Yehuda, and then he says, no, but we pass on to Ramah, you can't have cake with letters. What do you mean? Why not? The Ramah himself is understood by the Mishnah Berurah, says, Psikresha delo nichale, on two drabanans, ein beminonisot, plus not fully trapped, that's your Teva Gedola scenario. He says, that's permissible. That's the diuk of the Mishnah Berurah and Ramah. So how does that jive? How does that all work out? So that's the famous Chiddush. I saw it first from one of my rabbeim in the Sefer Rav Shmuel Kedar, Alav Shalom, and I saw it subsequently in a Sefer called Shalmei Nisan by Rav Nisan Kaplan. But the idea is a very simple idea. The Psak of the Ramah is far more complex. Is Psikresh Lo Nichle double drabanan? Is that necessarily always mutter? Not always. You have to dig deep into those drabanans. You have to look at the drabanans. When it comes to Ar Melach of Tzeda, what are these two drabanans? Ein Bemino Nitzo. That's a Tzeda Dik drabanan. That's a Tzeda oriented drabanan. And it's not fully trapped. That's a Tzeda type drabanan. It's not a generic drabanan. That's a Tzeda type drabanan. So how close are you to Tzeda Doraisa when you have one step removed, ein b'mino nitzot. A second step removed is not fully trapped. You're not really resembling Tzeda d'oraisa whatsoever. That's Mutar L'Chatchila. That's the Ramah in Simin Shin Tev Zayin. That's where you can close your Teva Gedola. When it comes to the cake, look at these Drabanans. The Drabanans, Eina Miskayim, Mikalkel, it's destructive. Shinui, you're not using an eraser, you're using fork and knife. All of these are generic. Kol HaShabbos Kula Drabanans. They're not Drabanans that are unique to what? To a particular Malach of Kosei Mochek. These apply to all of Shabbos. These are Pturim of Meleches Machsheves Asra Torah. So the suggestion is, when does the Ramah say Psik Reis L'Nichleis on a double Drabanan is Mutter? If the two Drabanans are specific to this Malacha, then you're basically not doing this Malacha anymore. The Malacha is so far removed from the essence of the Malacha, it's a facsimile thereof. Nah, we're not going to be goes in that case. But when it comes to Psik Reis L'Nichleis, where your Drabanans are Meleches Machsheves Drabanans, so you're just duplicating the Drabanan again, over again and over again. You're not generating a new p'tur. It's the same p'tur duplicating itself. So that already, you're doing Meleches Zeda, or you're doing Meleches Mochek. You're definitely doing Mochek. But you didn't have the right Kavanas. So you don't have the right Meleches Machsheves. Good. So you don't have the right Meleches Machsheves. You got that p'tur. To go in and say, I still don't, and I don't this way, and I don't that way, and I don't that way, you're not adding anything. And therefore, when it comes to the cake, the Ramah says it's going to be usher to have the cake. So these are just some of the fundamental Klali HaMalacha issues that emerge from Seda. There are a few more. We have, for example, the definition of Psik Reisha. We talked about in the past, you might recall, but again, I want to do some Chazara on these Klalim, because they're so, so important, and it'll be very important when we get into the nitty-gritty of this Malacha. But Psik Reisha in general, are you allowed to close your door to your house if you have a dog in the house? You're not closing the door to trap your dog at all. You want to close the door because you don't want robbers to come in. Are you allowed to close the door when a byproduct is going to be your dog gets trapped? Is that considered to be a Psik Reisha? Now you have to leave your door open. Wow, that would be wild. I remember I had a little hamster when I was a youngster. And somehow, the hamster escaped its cage. My mother was not at all happy with me having a hamster, and she always wanted to make sure it's in its cage. And on a Shabbos, on a Friday night, somehow the hamster escaped. I don't know how it happened, but somehow it got out. I heard it clawing under the covers. And I made sure when I left my house, I was a little child, 8, 9 years old, for shul in the morning, I closed the door of my room to make sure that the hamster stayed in the room. And I went to shul. After davening, went to a friend's house. Came back Motzei Shabbos. So, was I allowed to close the door? Was I allowed to close the door? Was I allowed to close the door of the house? People close the door of the house all the time because they want to keep other things, other vermin outside the house, whether human or animal. Are you allowed to do that when you have an animal roaming your house? Is that not called a Psik Reisha? So Mirtz Hashem, next year we'll pick up with some of these other klalim and then get into the Melachot Seda on a halach l'maisa level.